hundreds and hundreds of thousands of horses.
How long would a horse last?
Quite a while.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest abuse on horses were fire trucks.
Mm.
They would crash into them and break the legs off of them, and they'd have to repair them and damage the wheels. But fire trucks eventually were Larrabee and Hingston's friend, because we have many instances of fire truck drivers driving into a running tanning drum and breaking the tanning drum, doing damage that had to be repaired. So fire truck drivers were our friends sometimes.
So did you, if there was an accident like that, would you go to the factory and repair it there, or would
yes.
you? Okay.
Running most of the equipment in the factory was repaired in the factory. Unless it was a horse, then we could bring them back to our shop and do repairs. A lot of tanneries would have a shutdown period, and then Larrabee and Hingston would go and pick up a lot of their broken equipment, fix it up, return it back when they started up again.
So did you remain mostly in PB, or did you go lots of other places?
They traveled. They had a road crew. They had an inside crew manufacturing, and then they had a road crew installing. Sometimes they had, how busy they were, they had two road crews. So they could be in two different tanneries or in one tannery with two different crews setting up equipment. Mm. A lot of times they were doing the newer work. A lot of the factory would open up in, say, Maine in the 60s. They would install 30 paddle tubs, 30 color mills, a dozen tanning mills, all in a couple of years' time. So they were just out straight.
So it sounds like business was pretty good
at that time. Yes. Yeah.
Were there other major competitors with you?
Yes, there were. There was the Lowe Company in Peabody. Some tank manufacturers out in New York, Arrow Tank Company, Isaac Brothers. So there were companies in Philadelphia that made tanning drums. Chicago, there were big companies. So there were other big companies out there. But generally, we weren't competing with them, because they had their niche, we had our niche. It wasn't until later on in the years that we started to see cross paths, because the industry had shrunk so much that we were going out, they were coming out. We had customers in Omaha, Nebraska. We had California. We had Tennessee. We had customers in Canada. Some of the owners of the tanneries, like the Flynn, John Flynn Company in Salem, they owned a tannery in France, and they owned a tannery in Canada. And they had Pownall, Vermont, and they had the Peabody Salem plants. So we were manufacturing equipment for all of their companies, and they were shipping things overseas and up into Canada. We had other customers in Canada. Mm-hmm. But it was a big world, if you know what I mean, at that time. Even though we were a small Peabody company, the customers had gone out. A company like Flynn's was doing so well that they could buy this tannery in France, or they could buy the tannery in Canada. They were involved with New Zealand getting the skins down there. So it was quite an exciting venture at the time. Of course, I wasn't around. I just give you a little bit of history.
Yeah.
I didn't come around until 76.
So that was when you first started, 76?
Yeah.
Over there? And what were your various jobs for the company?
I was just a laborer, or if the weather was too bad, we couldn't stack lumber, we'd work inside the shop making parts for things. And would be cutting steel rod for hoops, threading it on the threading machine, bending it for the diameter of the drum, mm-hmm. Making bolted mill pins that bolted inside the tanning drum. When the drum agitates it, they keep the hides from bundling up. They keep the hide tumbling, so it gets a good chemical mix. Mm-hmm. Making lots of parts, bearing blocks for the tanning drum to rotate in. Were made out of wood, maple,